Welcome to In Phase, the Cycle Syncing podcast. Heads up, the audio quality of this episode is not up to our normal standard. We had some technical issues with the microphones. As you know, we're new to this, so it may not sound as level and as crisp as usual. However, the episode is still a good time. We appreciate you being on this journey with us, and please enjoy this week's episode.
Hey, welcome back.
What's going on?
Welcome back to In Phase, the Cycle Syncing podcast.
Yes, In Phase is a podcast, a space, and a community of women who are passionate about all cycles of their bodies,
their phases,
and their lives.
Ooh, we're synced on that last one. We were cycle synced.
We were cycle synced when talking about cycle syncing.
That's what we call In Phase, baby.
So it's going to be really fun because we're going to talk about just like the top questions that have come up when we talk about cycle syncing.
Yes.
But I want to, before we jump into the topic, we're both wearing hats. We didn't plan this. I know it looks like we both planned to wear black hats, but we didn't.
We're just in sync.
We're just very, very in sync.
I walked in and we did like the Spider-Man meme at each other. We're like, wait, no. Yeah.
So tell me about your hat. Your hat says books. Tell me about this hat.
I love this hat. It's my favorite hat. It says books. It's from my favorite bookstore, which is a bookstore in Brooklyn called Books Are Magic. Mm. So the branding is just sick. Like Harry has a big tote bag that just says Books Are Magic. And I'm like, one, I love that. Two, he uses it as a gym bag, which I think is really funny. It's bright yellow. And I was like, that's my man. He's literate. He's literate. But yeah, it's this great little bookstore in Brooklyn. And I love it. It's simple. It says books, and I'm reading a lot lately, which I want to talk about. But what's yours?
My hat says Cafe Tropical. It's a cafe in Silver Lake, and it's been a Cuban cafe since 1976.
Hell yeah.
Which is so cool. And
are you Cuban?
I am Cuban.
Yeah, you're Cuban.
So I'm half Cuban. I love this cafe. It's gone through three different owners since I've lived in LA.
We used to have meetings there. You and I.
We used to have meetings there. And what's really cool, actually, I'm going to just like, I can nerd out for 1 second.
Go.
Is that where this cafe is, it's on Sunset and Silver Lake Boulevard. There's a few blocks from there leading into Echo Park that used to be a Little Havana. Because when immigrants came from Cuba, a lot of them settled, who weren't settling in Miami and New York, settled in this one little pocket of Silver Lake / Echo Park. We wouldn't know that now because there's not many things there that exist that reminds you of that. But I will say this cafe continues to be a Cuban cafe. It rocks. Definitely go check it out. Also, as we're talking, I have to say this.
So yeah, she's going. Once you go, I'm not expecting this. Cafe Tropical, she's ready to rock.
Ready to rock. So I recently moved. I used to live in Silver Lake and I recently moved. And when I moved, it happened in like 3 weeks. So I didn't tell a lot of people I was moving.
This was wild. She also did this as we were launching this podcast and putting together like a launch party dinner for it. That was like
a new job.
30 people started a new job.
When I moved, I didn't tell anyone at the cafe that I was moving. And I don't think Gabe did either. And so
oh my God, that's sad.
I know it is kind of sad because we love the cafe and we love the owner, Danny, and we love the guy who used to ring us up, Lavario. So just want to say Cafe Tropical, the whole team, Tokes, love you guys.
If you're listening.
And it's not because we're not like, there's no hard feelings. It's not that we don't like the food anymore. Love the guava pastries. In fact, that little burrito that you make is like one of the best in the world. So I just want to say, it's not you, it's us. We moved to Brentwood. Feels like we've been across the country, but just know that we love you and we'll be back.
Sponsored by InFizz. Honestly, giving up your identity as an East Side girly, because we're talking about people with like mustaches and tattoos and like big pants, as if Lauren and Gabe aren't mustache people with big pants covered in tattoos. You guys are quintessential. You're giving up your East Side ideology to
move to Brent.
She immediately became like a West Side mom, and she is now, which is honestly like kind of iconic.
Yeah. So you like throw a stone and you'll hit a Pilates studio. You throw a stone and you'll hit matcha. You throw a stone and you'll hit a woman wearing a perfect matching fitness outfit and her on pads, and she has her sunglasses on and she's talking about what is happening in the world. It's like anywhere you go, any sort of like stereotypical LA person, you will find them walking their golden doodle, walking their, I was gonna say snickerdoodle.
I fucking wish.
I was like, whatever other doodle mix you need, they are there.
Yep.
Honestly, it's been charming. It's weird.
Honestly, that's a good way to put it. And here's the thing. Like, I can hate on the West Side all I want because it is your job as someone who is either a West Side person or an East Side person in LA to toss a little bit of shade the other way.
For sure.
But I love Brentwood.
No, it kind of rocks.
Like, I would really enjoy being able to go, like, walk to your favorite sushi chain and then Albert's Coffee and then go to my, like, Legree Pilates class. Like, as much as I would like to say that I'm not, I am indeed fairly basic.
No, it's awesome. I've always felt like if I'm going to live in California,
yeah,
I should be somewhat close to the beach.
Yeah.
Like, it would be a disservice to not. And it's been so cool because I'm like a 9-minute drive from the beach. And I've only been like 3 times since I've moved. It's been 2 months. But
yeah, but that the other day, if you guys follow Lauren on social at Lauren Cortizo, here's a plug for you. Go follow. She posted the sweetest video that, or maybe Gabe posted it. Also go follow Gabe Gibbs. He's a really funny musician comedian. She's married to him. He's great. But I think he posted a video of you, maybe, and it was you holding Carmen watching the sunset for the first time right after you moved. And I was like, this is some really pure, beautiful family California moment. It was so sweet.
It was really magical.
Yeah.
It was like, that was one of those nights where just like, it was like a random Friday. And my meetings ended at 4, and it was like, let's catch the sunset on the beach.
Oh, no, what a fucking cool thing to say.
And it's just, like, so cool.
Yeah.
And so it's been, like, so wildly charming.
And meanwhile, it would take, if I said that at 4 p.m., I would get to the beach at approximately, like, 6:45, and then it would take me another hour to get home.
Totally.
So, like, as much as anyone who's, like, doesn't live in L.A., like, are you close to the beach? Or he's like, not really.
Yeah. Yeah. It really depends.
Yeah.
So
congrats on your charming new West Side life.
Thank you so much.
This morning I made scones. Am I a trad wife?
Wow.
I'm saying that because last time you made a roast chicken too. This weekend has been like very ballerina farm to the point that I'm like, I gotta make sure I am exercising my right to have a loud ass feminist mouth on the internet.
There we go. It's all about balance, baby.
And
it's all about balance.
So I can roast a chicken and then come out here and talk about abortion rights for women in the same damn day, baby. Anyway, okay, so I roasted a chicken last night, and then I made scones this morning.
Incredible.
It was a lemon zest blueberry scone.
Wait! Lemon blueberry is my favorite combo.
Good thing I have 2 packed upstairs for you to take home for you and Gabe.
Oh my gosh, wait, do you know that lemon blueberry is like is one of my favorite combos of all time?
But I'm really glad I know now.
Oh,
I literally have 2 in a Tupperware upstairs for you. I'm
freaking out.
I woke up, I made these, and I was like, there's too many of these. So we went to the Hollywood Farmers Market this morning. We were like, let's stop by, let's just drop by Lauren and Mike's and drop them off these warm, fucking, recently glazed scones.
Dude.
That's community. I was like, I felt like the best neighbor of all time.
I love that. To be honest, I want to be a baker because of that. My sister-in-law is a big baker.
Yeah.
And so for every event, she has something that she brings. She makes a cake. She makes a pie. If you make all these things, you can't eat them.
Nuh-uh.
So you have to give them away. And to me, that's one of the most charming things. And it makes me want to be a baker. But just like the cleanup for me feels so wildly overwhelming.
It's a lot.
That I don't really do it.
You know what's funny about wanting to be a baker and having it be charming is I picked up the hobby during the pandemic when I lived alone. I was alone and I was struggling so much with my mental health, just being like, I'm alone all the time and the world is ending. What can I do? I picked up baking. I baked nonstop to the point that my friends knew if they saw on my Instagram story that I was baking a bunch to check in on me. They're like,
yeah.
Hey, I saw you made your 3rd cookie of the day. You doing okay? And I was like, no, I'm not okay. I haven't seen anyone in 74 days. But so then like during the pandemic, I started this tradition during the holidays where I would just bake Christmas cookie after Christmas cookie. So then I had like 15 different kinds of Christmas cookies. So I put together little packages and I would like social distance deliver them to people's porches during the holidays.
Gosh, cute.
I've fallen off of that since because I'm happier now. But
we'll
maybe I should bring it back. So if you guys see me baking up a goddamn storm, just check in on me.
Just check in.
Yep. My mental health today is actually phenomenal, and that was why I wanted to make the scone.
Love that.
Let me bring this back into the rotation when I'm well up here.
Okay, amazing. I love that. I went through one baking phase, and it was...
Were you well or unwell?
I was... What's in the middle of well and unwell?
I was medium.
Yeah, I was a medium well.
Yeah,
I was medium well.
Yeah.
And I was making one thing. I was making guava Pop-Tarts.
The fuck? That is the most specific thing that no one has ever heard of. I was thought you were gonna say like cupcakes.
No. I was thinking of guava Pop-Tarts.
How do you do that?
Oh my gosh. Well, you make a pie crust, which becomes a Pop-Tart crust.
Okay.
And then I was buying like pureed guava. I would go to Spanish grocery store.
Not cafe.
Honestly, I was gonna say.
Don't you?
I was gonna say. By the way, if you ever want a guava pastry, a great place to go is Campo Chapecoense. Similarly.
By the way, if you're like hungry because I'm telling the story, you know where to go. But no, I was making these guava Pop-Tarts because like I love a guava pastry.
Yeah, of course.
And I was like, oh my gosh, imagine this were a Pop-Tarts.
You made it up? And you made it? You created it. Sick.
Yeah, it was awesome.
Women in STEM.
Yeah, women in STEM. But anyway, I went through a short guava Pop-Tart phase, which then actually had me transition because I was like, okay, if baking isn't my thing, what else should I try that I could share? And then I went through a deep hot sauce making phase.
I was biting my tongue being like, what the fuck is she going to say? Because knowing you, you could be like making hot sauce, or I thought you were going to say like, so then I picked up skateboarding.
Oh, that was senior year of college. Actually, like seriously, like senior week, everyone was getting trashed and I was in the Boston Common like trying to do an ollie.
That doesn't surprise me at all.
Everyone's like partying, like we did it. And I'm like, I can't be an adult. What do I do? Get me a skateboard. And I literally was skating my little booty off all senior week long.
That's why you thought it was hot when I told you that I bought my ex his only mode of transportation at the time, which was a skateboard.
Yeah.
When I'm like,
skaters
I'm like,
cool.
Oh God, now that they don't have jobs.
Okay, wait. Books.
All right, yes, back to books. Okay.
Back to your hat. The bookstore sounds cool, but what are you reading right now? Because I know you're a big reader.
Yes, big reader. I pride myself on being very literate.
Love that.
I always be trying to be reading. At least two books. I'm trying to read one nonfiction book and one fiction book at a time. And the way you were squirming in that chair is really...
I feel like...
Lauren's trying to reposition herself without bumping the mic, and it looks painful.
I think my hair keeps getting stuck in the tree.
It looks great. In the tree. And you look great.
Okay.
Keep it up.
Great.
Shout out Cafe Tropical.
Yeah.
Right now, I just read this amazing book called The Heart's Invisible Furies, which follows this gay man born in 1960s Ireland throughout his life and all of the choices that led him down these different life paths that were obviously informed by him trying to keep his sexuality a secret. And then these different characters in his life that kind of intertwine and weave back in and that he like connects with at different phases. And it was just so beautiful. I love a gay story in general. My favorite book of all time is called A Little Life by Hanya Yanagihara. And a lot of people call it like a gay trauma book because a lot of it is very difficult, but it's like, ooh, it just made me want to be a better person. At the end of the day, it's like about friendship. It follows these four men through their relationships like over the course of 40 years. And some of them are romantic, some of them are platonic. And it just makes you want to be a better person to the point that I thought this was such a fucking flex over so many years. I sent it to multiple ex-boyfriends after we broke up because I wanted them to get the message that they needed to be a better person. But I sent it like unsigned without any note. And it's like, who would ever get that message?
They just
have a 600-page book arrive in the mail. And I'm over here like, yeah, I ate with that one.
That's so good. That's so good.
It's so funny. I have a copy of that book that I got from one of the free little libraries in LA. Like there's like all these like little libraries.
I love those.
And people put books in there and it's the absolute best.
Yeah.
So I always check to see if there's anything in there. And that's where I got my copy.
Have you read it yet?
I haven't yet.
Okay. Lock in. I was asked.
I'm scared of it.
Sorry. Right.
Only because I know I keep hearing it so emotional.
I was asked to leave a bookstore. It wasn't a bookstore. Sorry. It was a coffee shop that I was reading it in and I was finishing it. And the end is so emotional that I was audibly sobbing. They didn't say leave, but they came over and handed me a stack of napkins and they did say, and I said, I was sobbing.
Wow.
I like to cry in public though, you know?
Yeah.
So anyway, A Little Life, that's the best book ever, but you have to be ready for it. But Heart's Invisible Furies, I just read that. And then now I'm reading this book called Where the Women Were, which follows a woman in 1968 who gets pregnant and her parents send her to a home for women to kind of hide out in. Tell her family and her friends that she's studying in Paris for a few months because obviously it was so shameful to be pregnant out of wedlock back then. And it follows her story and her experience in this home for other unwed mothers who are all doing this in secret. And it is obviously just infuriating. There's so much conversation in it, obviously, and like cultural commentary around women's reproductive rights and healthcare choices and abortion and how that goes into play and how it's evolved over the years and how it's been stigmatized. And it's a fiction novel, but it is just like, it's very powerful. It's very good. And I am loving it.
Well, have you ever listened to the podcast Liberty Lost?
No.
So it's a podcast limited series. I think it's like 6 or 8 episodes. And it's about Liberty University, which is a Christian school, very well known. And basically they've uncovered that there's this aspect of the school where in this town, if you get pregnant out of wedlock, you can basically go into this home where they take care of it, meaning they basically protect you from society as you're pregnant. Mm-hmm. When you have the baby, they take the baby.
Yeah.
And then you then get a free ride to Liberty University.
If you have the baby and give it up for adoption, no questions asked.
So I have chills when I talk about it, when I think about it. It's like 14, 15, 16, 17 year olds who don't even have a choice, right? They come home, they say that they're pregnant.
And their parents are like, this is what you're doing, this is where you're going.
And then all of a sudden they, you know, go through this like traumatic experience of giving birth, and then they aren't given a choice.
Yeah.
Their baby is taken away.
In this book, they don't even see the baby when they have it.
It's crazy.
Yeah. They take the baby from them from birth. They never even hold it. They never see it again. And they're never told what happens to
it. Awful. Yeah. Awful. And what's nuts is like in this story, it's like you're learning that basically because you can get a lot of money for having babies for adoption, this is part of like what funds the school, is this underground system. It's so
selling the baby. I can't fucking
so messed up.
In case anyone was wondering, we're massive fans of reproductive rights
and
women's access to healthcare. And you know what abortion is? Healthcare. So
there's that.
There's that. Sponsored by Cafe Tropical.
Yep.
So anyway, that's what I'm reading. Wait, you said you were reading something good right now too.
Yeah, so I just finished a book. Well, it's funny. I'm similar to you where I like reading fiction and nonfiction.
Yeah.
So I just started a fiction book. I started Heart the Lover, the one everyone's reading. And I just finished a book called The Worlds We See.
Okay.
And it's by Dr. Fei-Fei Li, who is known as the godmother of AI. One of like the leading thinkers when it comes to spatial intelligence and when it comes to what the world is going to look like with humanity and AI working together. This woman's amazing. It's really cool. So I just finished that one, and then I'm also reading Emrata's book, My Body.
I love that. We have two books up here if you're watching online. I think we want to start doing a little bit of book recommendation for women on the pod. If you're interested in learning a little bit more about your body, when we met up and founded this idea for the podcast, she walked up on me at a bar reading this book here, which is called Come As You Are. It is by Emily Nagoski. And it is all about the female orgasm and understanding the woman's body in relation to sex, and how women have different kind of desires than men do. They have different turn-ons. Their bodies react and respond differently. And their orgasms are incredibly different than men's. It's a really fascinating book. And I think it's just really important for women to understand their own bodies in relation to sex, because so often what we're taught in culture and in media is all about the perspective and the perception of men. Mm-hmm. Even sex scenes in movies, they're from a man's POV. When you see like men and women like ferociously making out and then getting naked together, and then all of a sudden you see them both having an orgasm at the exact same time after about 37 seconds, it's like, in what fucking world? I don't think so. So this is a really good book. It was a quick read. She's really interesting. It follows a lot of different couples through different variations of their sex lives, and I would highly recommend it.
Yeah, it's a really, really good one. I will say, Emily, she has a book with her sister about burnout.
And
about what we go through when we're experiencing burnout and how you can move through it, which is another one that's fantastic.
Love. And then you have read Period Power. This is my copy from upstairs. I've started it, but you've read it cover to cover, right?
Yeah. I love this book. This is the reason why I was pissed that I didn't know about the four phases of the menstrual cycle.
Yeah.
And this is the book that made me want to cycle sync. It really breaks down. It's almost like a textbook. It breaks down what's happening with each phase of your cycle. It breaks down what's happening within your body, but then also what you could be doing to help balance it out. This book was one of the reasons why I started to go back into getting my official diagnosis of PCOS. Like, I was trying to for a while and I kept being shut down. This book kind of reminded me like, oh no, there's all these things that are happening.
Hell yeah.
To keep that conversation going. It's really dense, I would say, but I've recommended this book, I think, more than any book I've ever read.
I bought it because of you.
It was
your recommendation. Again, it's
so
called Period Power by Maisie Hill.
And who recommended this to me? It was Ronnie Tyrrell.
Oh!
Who is an old boss of mine at Netflix, who is just an absolute gem. But she recommended this book to me, actually, when we were working together.
Love. So, Ronnie, if you hear this, we're going to test you and see if you listen to this episode. Come up and give me a high five in the office. But also, I think like part of the reason that we want to make sure that we're continuing to arm anyone listening with even more resources for taking control of your cycle and your body and these different phases that we go through is that there is not enough conversation around this, goddammit. So we're having the conversation here, but we want to make sure that everyone else has access to even more resources. So we'll continue to bring books that, you know, we're reading or we've enjoyed. Also, if you're reading anything or consuming anything in media that we should be aware of that we can share, please bring that to us and let us know.
Yeah, absolutely.
All right, Lauren, what are we talking about today and why are we talking about it?
I'm very excited about our episode today because basically what we're going to do today is we're going to take the top five questions about cycle syncing and answer them based off of the research that we've done. So we've actually pulled questions. So these are like the top five questions, pulling resources from Google, YouTube, Reddit, TikTok, Instagram, like all over. And what's fun is that we're looking at these questions and they line up really well with the questions that we've been asked since launching this.
Yeah.
Since we've launched, we've had a ton of friends who have reached out, been like, hey, so what do I do when I exercise when it comes to cycle syncing? Or like, I'm on birth control. How do I approach that? So
my cycle is irregular. Can I still cycle sync?
Exactly.
And I mentioned this on last week's episode. And again, like Lauren and I just want to continue to say like, thank you so much for giving us feedback, for bringing us questions, for telling us that you're listening. It's validating and it's pushing us in the direction that we want to take this, which is giving people the information that they're looking for, the questions that they have. Because so many of the questions that I got from friends started with the same sentence, which was, hey, I think this might be a dumb question, but insert question. And it's like, it's not a dumb question. Okay. It's not a dumb question. I think we're made to feel like it's dumb. It's like, oh, it's my body. I should know this. No one teaches us this.
Right.
Which is why we want to talk about it.
We also want to, encourage people to keep asking questions. And what's really fun is that as of today, we're going to have this thing where you can basically call in and ask a question and we can play it on the pod and give an answer.
Yes.
So again, we're not doctors, but we love doing our research because we're just like nerds. So we'll do the research and get you an answer. The goal of Enphase, it's not just a podcast, it's a community. So starting today, of course, you can like always DM us or ask a question in the comments or text us if you know us individually. But also now you can actually call and ask a question. And if you're open to it, we'll play it on the pod.
I will say though, I had a tarot and astrology reading yesterday and she told me that we were going to get some haters on the pod. So if you're a hater, leave us alone. Unless you're hating on Cafe Tropical, because Lauren will come at you with fucking fire. So.
Okay, so let's dive in. So again, we're going to go over the top five questions that come up about cycle syncing. So the number one question, which I've been asked this so many times, so I wasn't surprised to hear this. The number one question is, can I cycle sync if I'm on birth control? So the short answer is it depends on what type of birth control you're using. So there is some birth control that is hormonal. So that means it prevents ovulation because it's impacting your hormone levels. So that's the pill. That's the patch. That's the ring. That's implants. That's injections. That's specifically hormonal IUDs.
Specifically hormonal IUDs. Yes. There are other IUDs that are not hormonal.
Exactly. So like the copper IUD is one that is not hormonal. But if you're taking anything for birth control that is impacting your hormones, this might be harder. That being said, you can still cycle sync, but we will say that because your body isn't naturally following the hormonal patterns, it might feel a little bit different.
And that means that your body isn't naturally going through the four hormonal phases every month, right?
Exactly.
So you're not experiencing on your own body's natural rhythm, menstruation, follicular, ovulatory, luteal, right?
Exactly. But what's interesting is that even though your body isn't menstruating, for instance,
yeah,
a lot of people still experience bleeding,
which is a
withdrawal bleed. So that's what happens. So like when you're taking birth control and you have your placebo week, your body is still bleeding. And so what's interesting is that when you're doing withdrawal bleed, you might still experience decreased hormones. You're still experiencing blood loss. And there are certain things when we talk about cycle syncing that are helpful if you're experiencing blood loss. You might still experience cramping. So there actually are adjustments within cycle syncing that could be really, really helpful, even if you are taking hormonal birth control.
Yep.
Which is why it's one of those things where it's like, you can do it. It might not be as impactful.
Yeah.
But I think if anything, one of the big things that we talk about too is just cycles thinking allows you to be more in touch with how your body is feeling during certain times of the month, right? Even if you are on hormonal birth control, this can be helpful to do.
And as a reminder, when we're talking about bleeding during that point of the month, what can be helpful for you? It's eating iron-rich foods that are going to help replenish your body, like steak, potentially taking iron supplements, or eating dark leafy greens. And also, if you're bleeding during your placebo week at this time, you're also probably losing energy in a way that you should be encouraged to rest and to take some space from doing really hardcore, like strength-based or cardio activities. So, and I always just think it's nice to give your body a chance to reset. I'm always, as you guys know, a big proponent of taking care of your body and treating it with love and kindness and grace and compassion, especially during that week. So feel free to take a rest regardless of what kind of birth control you are on. Take care of your body, be really kind to yourself, and use it as a reset period. Again, as we talked about the phases of your cycle as seasons, you're in winter during that week, and it's just regardless of what your hormones are doing, a good excuse for you to take a moment and kind of like take stock, reset, and start over for spring in the next week.
Yeah, I love that. So yeah, that's the big takeaway, is that if you're on it, you might not get the full experience, but it does not mean that you will not experience benefits. So highly recommend. And also, if you're on birth control and your cycle syncing, we'd love to hear about your experience too.
I would too. Yeah.
So,
and we're also going to be doing an episode coming up about getting off birth control. I don't think that's one of the questions for today, but it is a question that I have been getting a lot. And I know Laura has too. I'm on birth control right now, and I'm interested in getting off of it so that I can start to cycle sync or start to try to see what my body does in a hormone-free environment. And there's a lot of resources around detoxing from birth control, especially if you've been on it for years and years and years, and how you can help resource your body for that. So that's an episode that we'll do as well.
Yep, exactly.
Okay, this next question is my favorite question because it is why I started cycle syncing. So I'm glad that people are asking it. And that question is, what if my cycle is irregular? Can I still cycle sync? And for me personally, the answer was absolutely yes. For other people, it makes it a little bit more difficult. We'll get into what irregular cycles are, but I started cycle syncing because my cycle was so irregular and also had turned into such a painful and unpredictable experience that I was looking for something that I could manage myself to take a stronger hold on it and be more autonomous about my own body without the intervention of birth control or putting a band-aid on an issue that I know had kind of like a deeper meaning inside my body.
So great. And I'm excited to hear, I want to hear more about what your experience was like.
Yeah.
But just to define even what irregular means. So normal cycles range from 21 to 35 days. I say normal, like with quotes, because like what is normal? But that's basically like a typical cycle range. So if your cycle falls outside of this range or varies significantly month to month, which a lot of people experience, then it's technically considered irregular. So we talk a lot about, you know, there's these windows of time when you're going through each phase. And if you have, you know, a 28-day cycle every single month, it might be easier to say, okay, on day 12, I have this feeling all the time.
Yeah.
And on day 18, I'm feeling so energized. So I always take Barry's boot camp on day 18. And
God, that must be nice. That is not me, babe. Not me. But, and it's okay if it's not you. And if it is you, you're fucking cool. Well, S+.
Yeah. I said for most people, it isn't that.
Yeah.
But so in general, it's already harder to kind of tell sometimes when these windows are happening and when you're transitioning into a new phase. But it can be even trickier if sometimes your cycle is 21 days and then the next time it's 38 days. And I know you sometimes... So, like you've gone like in the 40s.
Yeah, I was just going to say, that's me, baby. So like when I got into cycle syncing, or why I started to be so intrigued and wanting to learn about this, is because my cycle was ranging from like 28 days to like, I think my longest cycle was 48 days. And what I will say is, again, pay attention to what is going on in your life. My cycle was being so affected by external factors that were beyond my control, but greatly impacting my stress. At the time, my mom was diagnosed with a brain tumor, and I was dating someone who I had to take to rehab multiple times over. Yeah. And so having both of those things, which are such high stress, high pressure situations, I just sent my nervous system into an absolute tizzy. And it was interesting because I had never had an irregular cycle before those moments in my life. But I think it just sent my body and again, my nervous system into overdrive and an imbalance that did not regulate itself.
Yeah.
And when I started seeing an acupuncturist about it later and explaining to her just like what was going on with me, why I started seeing her to try to help regulate my cycle. And I explained to her these moments and she's like, and what happened during, like, what was your cycle like then? I was like, well, I missed it that month. But I guess I didn't really think about that. And then the next month, it fell on the same week as one of my mom's brain surgeries. Keyword, one of my mom's brain surgeries. It was a stressful time.
Yeah.
And my cramps were so bad that month that I had to go to the ER. And once I started actually verbalizing these things, I was like, oh shit, this is not normal. And it is so clearly connected to these moments of high stress in my life. So what I would say and tell everyone, and I do tell all my friends, I'm telling everyone listening now, pay attention to the external factors that could be affecting your cycle, because I didn't know that moments of such high stress and high external pressure could throw my cycle so out of whack that it has taken years for it to get back on track.
Yeah.
But at this time, my cycle fluctuated by crazy amounts, 28 days one month, 40 days the next. I would skip it the next. I would bleed twice some months. I'd bleed when I was ovulating. And then just crazy, crazy pain.
Yeah.
So cycle syncing was my foray into trying to take control of regulating both my cycle and my nervous system at the same time by just nourishing my body and specifically my reproductive health a little bit more. And I'm so grateful for it. And I also don't want to imply that that's the only way to do it. Sometimes the intervention of medication prescriptions or hormonal birth control is important. For me, I wanted to try this before going a different direction. And I'm really glad that I did.
That's so great.
Yeah.
That's so great. And I'm so glad that you tried it as a way to try to get your periods regular.
Yep.
Because I think, again, it can feel like, okay, well, if it's not consistent, this idea of cycle syncing can't work for me.
Right.
But actually it could be the exact opposite, which I think is really exciting.
Yeah. It was like cycle syncing was the medicine that I needed to help regulate my cycle. So I encourage women who have irregular cycles, this could actually be the thing for you.
Yeah. How long, I'm curious, like how long did it take for you to feel the impact of it?
Let's see, this was in 2021 and 2022 that this was going on. I would say probably 6 months or so.
Yeah.
But what I would say, and that's to feel the physical impact. And I was taking really close stock of like marking, like in period tracking apps and journaling about like how I was feeling on a day to day, like what my cramps were like. But what I will say is the immediate relief of the knowledge of how my body was different during these phases and the grace and compassion that allowed me to give myself. For instance, like during luteal, stop being pissed off at myself for feeling lazy or tired or not being able to do a berries class.
Yeah.
When I understood and knew that in luteal, I should rest, my body gains 4 pounds of water weight. So stay off the scale. Don't wear your skinniest jeans. Be nice to yourself. You're craving 500 calories on average more a day. Those impacts were almost immediate.
Yeah.
And it felt like such a relief to me. Exactly. When I learned those things, the next month, when I started to feel so luteal,
yeah,
and so much bigger and so much uglier and so much like everyone hated me, immediately I was like, I know what this is.
Yeah.
I got this. So yeah, the physical stuff, it took a while to regulate and I'm still not regular.
Yeah.
But the tighter I am on cycle syncing, the better my periods are.
That's so great.
Yeah.
That's so great. And that's one of the things that the research says is that if your periods are irregular, it might take longer to feel those impacts, but it's still worth it.
Yeah.
As they're saying.
And the mental benefits are also there alongside the physical benefits.
Yeah. Just that awareness is huge.
Yep.
And then just one thing too, is like, if you're curious about what causes irregular cycles, there's a lot of different things that it could be.
Stress, brain tumors.
Yeah. Stress,
rehab
changes, thyroid. Yeah. That. Stress is a huge one. Last week we talked about endometriosis. That's a very common symptom.
PCOS.
Is having irregular cycles, PCOS as well. Although I will say, I have PCOS and I have a very regular.
I know, aren't you a 28 day girly, like to a T?
Yes. Since prior to getting pregnant, had the most consistent period, always 28 days. And it was because of that it took me 5-6 years to get diagnosed with PCOS.
Oh,
because doctors were like, oh, it's the first question they ask. They say, is your period regular? And I say, yeah. They go, well, it can't be that.
We also obviously will do an episode on PCOS because it's so important. And there are so many like indicators of PCOS that then put people out of the realm of possibility in doctors' minds like that. Oh, you have a regular period. Oh, you haven't gained a ton of weight. Oh, you don't have facial hair. You don't have PCOS.
Right.
There's so many different ways that this can show up. and don't feel like you read one definition of a condition on the internet or you hear from one doctor dismissing something and feel like that's the end all be all.
Yeah, exactly. And I think in general too, if your cycles are very irregular, it's worth seeing a doctor, right? It's worth trying to figure out what's going on.
Yep.
So to your point, like you saw doctors, you started to cycle sync, like it should, our bodies should naturally be on a pattern.
Yeah.
So if things are not that way, I think that's a good sign to just explore a little bit.
Yep.
And try to scope what's going on. All right. Question number three.
How do I actually start cycle syncing and what do I track?
I mean, it's such a good question because there's a million different ways you can do this.
When Lauren and I first started talking about this, I don't know why you were not using an app, or maybe you were, but she sent me this crazy fucking spreadsheet that she was using. And she turns on her laptop like at dinner one time. She's like, okay, so every morning I wake up and I track this and I put it in this column and this column and this column. And I was like, what are you talking about?
I'm like, what? It was nuts. I made this spreadsheet because I also wanted all the information in one place of like all the things I should be doing, which actually, fun fact, part of the reason why it took us a million years to launch this podcast is because we initially were going to build
an app
for cycle syncing.
Yeah.
And we figured this was a little bit easier.
As people who are not app builders. Yeah, and also upon a little bit of research, there's so many fucking apps.
There's a lot. But yeah, I was using a crazy spreadsheet, but there's a million different ways you can track. Like some people, I've seen the bullet journal girlies making like really, really beautiful layouts and tracking it that way. You could build your own spreadsheet. There's also a handful of different apps. There's MyFlow, there's Natural Cycles. There's so many of them right now.
What I will say about these apps, which I really love a function, is that you can share the information with your partner so that it sends the information of where you are in your cycle directly to your partner so that that way they know when you are ovulating, if that's important, if you're trying or not trying to get pregnant. They know when you are in your luteal phase, when you're a little bit more sensitive, and when you are about to have your period so that they can take care of you and be aware of your both your physical and your mental state. And I think that that is money.
Yeah, it's amazing. Really, it's whatever works for you.
I personally use apps. I use Stardust and MyFlow. Also, the Apple Health app has an option to track your cycle as well.
Yep. There's a lot of options. I use Natural Cycles. I used to use my crazy spreadsheet. One thing to note too is I think for a while there was a shift in tracking manually and not using apps, because when reproductive rights were starting to get taken away in different states, that data could have been used against women in court. And so I just want to like say out loud. It's crazy, but just like make sure that you're doing your research of where you're putting your information, because that is data that will be shared.
That's actually
weird. So I just want to flag that.
Those are things to be aware of. It's interesting because when we launched the podcast too and we're getting questions, my cousins reached out to me and that was a specific question they had. They said, one of them, my cousin Elizabeth, was like, I would love a list of like period tracking apps and I would love to know like what data we should be concerned about associated with which app. So that's something that we'll talk about.
Yeah, definitely. So whether you decide to use an app or you decide to basically track on your own with pen and paper or in a spreadsheet or with a whiteboard, there's a few things that are important to take a look at and to keep track of. So first of all, it's just knowing when your period starts and when it ends. So the first day that you are bleeding is day one.
And then the last day before your period starts again is the last day of your cycle. So for instance, my period last month was 34 days. I got my period on the first day of my cycle, and then I got it again on what would have been the 35th day of my cycle. But then that starts over, it's day one, so my cycle was 34 days.
Exactly.
It's just right in the window of regular, so we're cheering for that.
We love that. Honestly, track whatever you want, like whatever you're curious about, like if certain things aren't consistent in your life and you want to understand why, this is a great opportunity just to start to dig into that. But specifically, here's a few things that are also important to track. One, energy levels. So like we've talked about, when you're in luteal phase, a lot of times your energy level will dip. And then when you're menstruating, your energy level will dip. Your body is doing a lot.
This is my favorite thing to track because, again, I come back to this on every single episode, but the grace it gives you for yourself and like the self-compassion that I exercise during the times when I'm feeling low, I'm feeling tired, is amazing compared to when I didn't know this. I would just beat myself up for being lazy, and that's not the case.
Yep. So that's a great one to track. Mood is another one too. Obviously, hormones impact our mood.
Yep.
And it's going to look different for everyone. So what's good about the apps, I would say, is that the apps can give you different types of moods to choose from.
Oh, you're right. Yeah.
So that's just something I would flag. Like when it comes to mood, it could be helpful to have like
a consistent, like, here's a list of like the 12 that you want to choose from.
It's like, are you feeling sad? Are you feeling anxious? Are you feeling frisky? Are you feeling melancholy? Are you feeling tired?
Yeah. Because there's a million different moods you could be feeling, but the goal is you want to be able to find those trends. So the more consistent when it comes to like language, I think that's really helpful.
Yeah.
Sleep quality is another one too, because that gets impacted depending on where you are in your cycle. And it would be helpful to know that, like, if there's a certain time where you're having really light sleep or you wake up a lot, then maybe you plan your evening differently. Maybe you have a cup of tea at night or you have some magnesium or
So
it's like things like that could be really interesting to keep tabs on.
For me specifically, I have crazy night sweats and I lucid dream during my period.
Yeah.
Or like the first or right before I'm getting my period, on like the last day of my cycle, first day of my cycle, I'm the sweatiest person on the planet and I'm having the craziest dreams. Like, I had a crazy dream last night.
Wild. So yeah, sleep quality, additionally cravings, exercise performance, cramping, bloating, skin changes. Like, for a while, I would always get acne at a certain point in my period.
Was it along your jaw?
No, it's always my forehead.
Oh, see, mine is always along my jaw. Mm. I have a pimple on my chin right now, everyone, so I know exactly what's going on. Don't look too closely. Also, sexual desires. If you're feeling friskier, you're typically ovulating, and if you're feeling like, get the fuck away from me, you're likely in your luteal phase or about to menstruate or menstruating. But then some people get really horny when they're menstruating as well.
Right. So yeah, keep track of that as well. So number one, it's just keeping tabs.
Yep.
So choose the things that you really care about. Start to track how your body is feeling. And then two is finding those trends. So observing patterns. Again, apps are helpful to be able to do that. The spreadsheet was helpful for me too. But you want to find, like, okay, is there consistencies of when I'm feeling most energized, of when I'm feeling most creative, when I'm feeling most tired, when I'm feeling like, don't touch me, or I don't want to talk to anyone. Again, if anything, it helps create a sense of normalcy for ourselves and the sense of like, this is just how my body is and that's okay.
Yeah, I've come to know myself so much more and then again, continue to have more compassion for myself. It's almost like knowing my cycle has turned into a friend of mine and therefore I treat myself in a more friendly way.
Yeah,
I love that. It's almost like an external part of me that I think is easier for me to be empathetic towards. For me, it's like, you're either good or you're bad. Mm-hmm. And cycle syncing has allowed me to look at the part of myself and my hormonal cycle and my menstrual cycle as just a part of my body and my existence that I can be kind to and empathize with.
It's amazing. Yeah, just that grace is like truly life-changing. Yeah. It's just seeing what those patterns are and finding those trends. And I'll say, if you do just that, that is cycle syncing.
Yep.
Awareness alone is cycle syncing, because as you just expressed, Robin, like, just knowing what's happening and having compassion for that is you adjusting your lifestyle.
Yep.
The third step would be you deciding, okay, what do I want to focus on? I think one of the key things though is there's sometimes this feeling of like, okay, well, I have to do everything. I have to plan my meals. I have to have certain supplements at certain times. I have to make sure I adjust my workouts too. And it's like, I'm someone who, if there's too much for me to do, I become like overwhelmed,
paralyzed,
and I can't do it all. And so one of the things that I think is important is that when you start, choose what you think is going to be best for you. Like, and you don't have to do it all at once. You also don't have to do any of this at all. Again, just being aware is enough. But I would say, like, try to take this, like the 5% rule I always think about. It's like, if you adjust your life, even just 5%, that's 5%. That's not nothing.
Exactly.
It's 5%. And so even if it is just, okay, in luteal, I'm going to make sure I have one night where I'm home.
Yes.
One night where I'm home, where I'm just like watching a movie and resting.
Yep.
Like, that's like one small adjustment that might make a really, really big impact.
Or I'm not going to make plans for day two of my period.
Yes.
Because I know it's the worst day of my cycle and I know I have really bad cramps. I'm going to plan to take a bath that night.
Yeah.
Also, on the 5% thing, I once worked with a coach who said that if you change something in your life 5% right now, view your life like a ship, that 5% shift in trajectory is going to set you somewhere completely different in 5 days, 5 weeks, 5 months, 5 years than if you hadn't changed it at all. So even if it feels small, the change later on is going to be huge. And for me, in terms of after awareness, like, awareness was the biggest part of me for how I started cycle syncing. And then I just did, it was exercise first. I just I started thinking about like when not to do these workouts that I either was going to feel tired during or feel mad at myself after. And then after that, it was implementing different nutritional changes.
Yeah.
And it was things one at a time that I was changing and entering into like the whole wheel of cycle syncing that we have, but do not try to do all of it all at once.
Totally.
Unless you're like a really, really crazy organized person who thrives off like the chaos of changing everything at once. But I look at it like New Year's resolutions, where if you've got 15 of them that all of a sudden you're telling yourself you're gonna wake up at 5 a.m. every day, drink 3 liters of water, go to the gym, and also write a book, and you start doing all of that on January 1, how long is that going
to
last?
Right, right. It's very hard to be consistent.
Yep.
When you're trying to take on too much. But yeah, when I started as well, I also started with workouts. Yeah. I was doing HIIT every day.
I was too.
Yeah.
And millennial women who are taught to do berries and soul cycle like 3 times a day were really brought up on the wrong side of the tracks of the education process here.
Yep. So for me, it was like, I stopped doing HIIT workouts when I was menstruating.
Yep.
That was the first thing I did. I was still doing it luteal, to be honest, at first. I was like, what else do I do?
Yeah.
But my first thing was like stopping that in my menstrual phase. And then slowly it was like, okay, well, I'm going to incorporate walking before that.
Yeah.
So in luteal phase, I'm going to start walking, and then I'll have like time to rest when I'm actually in my menstrual phase. And then for me too, it was like little things, like I would get really fatigued and tired during my menstrual phase. And so I would start taking iron during my luteal phase.
Just go slow and start small and see how you feel, and then add more elements of cycle syncing into your lifestyle if it makes sense for you.
Yeah.
I'm not here to tell you what to do.
Yeah, you do your own thing.
Do your own thing, girl.
And that's a perfect transition into question 4.
I love this question because it's a question that most people are most focused on and the easiest way to start, in my opinion.
Yeah.
What exercises should I do in each phase?
Yeah. So we're going to go through each phase and we'll talk about like some recommendations. But ultimately, again, as we've always mentioned, this is like one of the easier things to start with. So when you're menstruating, you can do literally nothing.
I love a nothing period. Except yesterday I went for a long walk. I'm in period right now. Went for a long walk. And I remember thinking, I was like, this goes against my ideology as a cycle syncer. Because literally 2 episodes ago, I was like, don't move during your period.
Yeah.
Honestly, but also, it is a personal choice.
Yeah.
It depends on your feeling. I've had like a minimally painful period this month, hallelujah, which has been amazing. So I was like, let me take my body on a little walk, give it a little sunshine.
Love that.
But yeah, the most that I will do during my period is a walk or potentially yoga.
The goal is to focus on rest.
Yeah.
And gentle movement. Like if you feel better when you move, then definitely move. But if you're gonna move, let's focus on things that are low intensity.
Yep.
So yoga, I wouldn't do hot yoga. I would do like yin. You can do Pilates as well. Again, I wouldn't do reformer. I wouldn't do agree.
Yeah.
But if it's like light Pilates, that's a nice way to move the body as well. Walking, like you mentioned. And then like you said too, just stretching is really good for your body.
Yep.
So.
And then follicular phase, the second phase of the cycle. So this is springtime, which is when we're springing back into action. Our energy levels are coming up. Our hormonal levels are starting to rise. Typically day 6 through 14 of the cycle. So as your energy levels are starting to rise, this is where you can start to take advantage of the fact that you have more power, more endurance, incorporate more strength training, more cardio. This is where you can do your HIIT classes again. You can start running. You can do your soul cycle classes. If you're back in 2011, I still take soul cycle, so I'm hating on myself there. But yeah, this is not where you need to or should focus on being sedentary. If you don't want to, you're starting to feel like yourself again, so get back out there.
Yeah, exactly. And then it's perfect because then as you get into your ovulatory phase, this is when your energy levels are at their peak. So this is when you can like go for the PR.
Yep.
If you're going to a gym that is more CrossFit-like and you want to go for your PR, that's the day to do it. For instance, I just started running again. And
hey.
I love it. Oh, it feels so good.
So, man, I love it. Like, when you start running after not running for a while, you're like,
the best.
This is who I am.
And I used to love interval running. But as I'm getting back into it, I'm trying not to go too fast or too hard too quickly because I'm notorious for doing that and then having an Achilles injury for 6 weeks. But recently, during my last ovulatory phase is when I started doing interval running.
Oh.
So it was great. So for 3 days in a row, I did my interval runs where it was like 3 minutes of like running freaking hard.
Yeah.
And 2 minutes of running at a good base and then doing that back and forth. And I felt amazing. And
I
so it was
that.
So cool to be able to like look at my calendar and be like, okay, now is the time for me to do that.
Yep.
Like if you're a climber, like if you're like, if you like to boulder and there's like a V11 and you're like, I want to go for it, plan to do it during your ovulatory phase.
I have no idea what that means, but I agree. Okay? Do that when you're ovulating.
Exactly.
One thing I'll say too is I keep coming back to the mental aspects and affirmations of this is think about as well as if you try to PR when you're menstruating, when your energy levels are at their lowest, when you're depleted of iron, of nutrients, of resources, and you are at your tiredest of the month, and then you try to hit a PR and you don't hit it, which would be likely during your period, it's not good for your mental either, you right, know? Like, right. It's, but knowing, like, planning your workout schedule around your menstrual cycle so that you can plan to fucking crush it when you pick up your interval training again, because you know that you're ovulating and that you have those energy resources ready to go. Your hormonal levels are ready to support you in that endeavor. It's only going to set you up for mental success as well, because that was something that I focused on a lot too, was like the mental aspect of leaving a class and being like, why was that so hard for me when I crushed it 3 days ago and today I just can't seem to even come close. There's a reason for that.
Yep.
So something to focus on there too.
It's a great thing. And it's one of the reasons why tracking, like we talked about, exercise performance is really helpful.
Yep.
To that point too. Because again, it's going to vary for everyone, but just that grace you can have of like, okay, that's the reason why this didn't go as well.
Yep.
It's just science, baby.
Science.
It's just science. There's also something really cool where there's recent studies that are coming out that basically say muscle injuries and short-term injuries were more likely in the luteal phase.
Oh.
Which is really fascinating. It's not surprising when we talk about what's happening in our body and the fact that your body is going through so much that rest is important. But I think that's really interesting that we're actually seeing studies that you're more likely to get injured if you are working out during this time.
Damn.
So
I love an excuse to not work out. So send me more of these studies.
So those are some things that you can do. Again, listen to your body. Like if you don't feel good on your period, don't force yourself to move.
Yeah.
Just rest. Don't even stretch. Just rest.
Yep.
But ultimately it's like, do what you think is going to be best for your body. And exercising is such a great way to dip your toes into cycle syncing.
Love that. All right. Last question. Question number five. Not the last question that we'll ever answer. Hopefully we're going to be around here a lot. We own these microphones. So, but does cycle syncing actually work? Is there scientific evidence, the validity of why we're even here?
Well, there's a theme, I would say, with this podcast.
Hit us.
And it's the fact that there's just not enough research in general.
Go figure, because this is a women's issue. Women's
health.
Yep.
So I just want to say that what we're seeing right now is there's more evidence emerging. It's limited.
Yeah.
But it's emerging. I want to be honest about that, because this is a thing that is becoming more and more popular. And as it becomes more popular, there will be even more journals and peer reviews and more information for us to be able to pull from.
Yeah.
What we do know is that there is a lot of data that when women do this, they feel different.
Yeah.
We know that for a fact. But when it comes to us looking at large scale research around cycle syncing, I'll say we're kind of in the early phase.
Yeah. Oh, was that pun intended?
Early phase.
Yeah. If you're not watching this on either YouTube or video functionality, Lauren just did a really good wink at the camera during that. So you might want to tune in.
Yeah. That's also what you like. I love that you brought up books today.
Yeah.
Right? Because there's books like Period Power. There's another book called In the Flow, which is a book that almost all my other friends who cycle sync, it's because they read that book. And there's plenty of research in those books that talk about why this is something to pay attention to. But ultimately, I would say it's the research is still catching up. And again, it's not just about cycle syncing. It's about anything that is focused on women's health, which is very unfortunate. But I think it just means that us continuing to do more digging and to create platforms like this are really impactful to make sure that we're getting the resources that we need.
Yeah. Again, bringing about conversation around your cycle, around periods, removing the stigma of TMI, of we don't talk about this is something to be ashamed of, to hide. It is not. You shouldn't. Let's talk about it. Let's bring it into the forefront. I think the more we remove that stigma from this conversation, from this part of our lives, the more recognition it will get in society. And thus, the more attention and the more funding and the more research. If you listened to our episode last week about endometriosis, we are fired up about this because it is a woeful disservice to women and to just society as a whole to not focus on women's health.
Yes, exactly.
Period.
Period.
Period. Amber Glenn, the figure skater in the Olympics recently.
She
is very open about having her period as she was performing for the medal in the Olympics. And it was, her quotes went viral all over the internet. And I think it was because you don't see women talking about this, but that was her entire point of contention that she wanted to bring awareness to. Men performing in the Olympics and male athletes don't need to worry about this, but I'm up here on the world's greatest athletic stage on the hardest day of the month for me to do this. And my body is working an uphill battle already. And that is something that needs to be acknowledged as well. And she's still absolutely fucking crushed. But I was so happy to see an athlete talking about that on a public stage. And I think like it just shows that the conversation is shifting. So let's continue to shift it more.
Exactly. Let's just like pause and talk about common sense. It's scientifically proven that what's happening in our bodies with our hormones is happening. That's not a question. We know that. That is data. That is fact. Let's just stop and think about it.
Critical thinking?
If you choose to do the exact same behaviors on a day where your hormones are super high or super low, or on a day where you're feeling exhausted, or on a day where you're feeling energetic, or on a day where you slept well, or when you had... What do you think is going to happen?
Right.
So I just want to say that, and not as like, I don't want that to sound condescending. I want that to sound like, to me, it's like, if our body is physically different all of the time, why would it not be impactful for us to change our behaviors to support that?
Yep. Amen. Common sense.
Common sense. So bottom line, we know our hormones fluctuate throughout our cycle. That is scientifically proven. We know women feel different at different times of the month. The research is still emerging, but what we have so far is very, very promising. And we should never be ignoring the signals that our body is giving us. And so if there's a system that allows us to be more in tune with our body, that allows us to understand our body more, that allows us to find trends and patterns that can then help us be informed to make better decisions, sounds like it's worth it.
Hell fucking yeah, dude. And just as a reminder, if it's not clear by the fact that we started a whole ass podcast about this, cycle syncing has changed our lives. So you're looking at two women who can co-sign this for you.
Yep, exactly.
Okay, to recap these five questions. First, yes, you can cycle sync if you are taking birth control. It's easier on non-hormonal birth control and a little bit trickier with hormonal birth control. You may not see all of the results that you would if you were not on hormonal birth control, but it is not impossible.
Yes. Two, irregular cycles. You could absolutely cycle sync if your cycle is not regular. It may be more challenging because of the lack of consistency, but I would still very much track. Robin said that's what actually caused her to do it. There's still a lot of value in that.
Three, how to start, what to do, where to go. Start by tracking your actual cycle and then start tracking and paying attention to how you feel. Again, bringing just awareness to the levels of your mood, of your sexual desire, of your appetite, of how you're feeling, of how you're exercising. That awareness throughout the month is going to be your first indicator and your first toe dip into cycle syncing. And then slowly integrate what parts of it into your life make sense and are easiest for you without feeling overwhelming. If that's changing the way that you work out, if that's changing the way that you have a nighttime routine or on your menstrual cycle, do that. But toe dip into it and make it comfortable for you so that you can stay consistent.
I love that. Four, exercise recommendations. The key is listen to your body, right? We'll make a graphic to put on our page of the different recommendations that we've talked about.
Yep.
But there's recommendations for each phase of your cycle, but also listen to your body. And pay attention to how different you feel depending on what it is that you do during each phase.
And then five, is this even freaking real, dog? Listen, research is still emerging about this, as it is for all women's health initiatives in general. We're underfunded, we're under-resourced, we're under-cared about in society, which is why we're here. But
yeah,
we say yeah. There's so many women who swear by this. There are studies that are coming out that are filled with data. There's anecdotal information. And also, give this a try and see how you feel, how it changes or does not change your life. We'd love to hear from you.
Yeah.
But we believe that it very much so is real.
Thank you guys for listening. And if you have questions, we would love to hear your questions. So as we've mentioned, if you go to our Instagram and click on a link in bio, you can actually click on the link and it invites you to ask a question. We might play on the pod, we'll answer it for you, or you can ask us a question in the comments or in our DMs. But ultimately, again, the goal of Enphase is to be a community. And so we want you to feel seen, we want you to feel heard. And we're not doctors, but we'll do our best to find answers for you. And I guarantee that if you have a question, there's someone else who's also thinking and wondering the same thing.
Exactly. These were a hot five. But we know that there are so many other questions out there, even just from our anecdotal experience with our friends after the first few episodes. So please, please, please bring them to us. We want to know what you want to know. And again, as Lauren said, if you have it, if you want to know, if it's confusing to you, guarantee it's confusing to so many other people too. So let's talk about it.
Yes.
Thank you for listening.
Yeah, thank you so much. If you liked this and you enjoyed it, please subscribe to us on YouTube. We're at InFacePod. You can also watch us there. So I don't know if you're watching this on YouTube, but if you're listening on Spotify or Apple, now you can watch us on YouTube.
And if you're listening on Spotify or Apple, please make sure to comment, subscribe, share with a friend, share with a partner, share with a sister, share with a mother, share with anyone in your life who you think would enjoy this, which should be everybody, because as a reminder, women's health is not just a woman's issue. Everyone should care about this. And you can find me on socials if you'd like to talk to me about this or anything else, at Robin Dibovic.
And you can find me at Lauren Cortizo. And you can follow us on Instagram and on TikTok at InFacePod. And with that,
we'll see you next week.
Oh. So sync.
Bye.